And today marks 100 years since President Woodrow Wilson signed a law granting U.S. citizenship to Puerto Ricans. But the island is not a state. Puerto Ricans don't have representation in Congress, nor can they vote in presidential elections. And the anniversary comes at a time when people there are once again asking if its relationship with the U.S. needs to change. NPR's Greg Allen joins us from Miami. And Greg, what's been the reaction to this anniversary in Puerto Rico?
Well, in Puerto Rico, it's an issue that I think people are aware of, but it's not a day that people are really, you know, observing your typical person. The governor signed a proclamation there to observe it, and there's a ceremony held today. But there's been, you know, pushback on that as well. There's an independence party in Puerto Rico, and a legislature there yesterday had an impassioned discussion about why they shouldn't observe this anniversary. And I've been told that there's some protesters out today, independence activists who are holding banners that say 100 years is enough. So it's definitely a mixed story there.
Well, remind us what rights Puerto Ricans have. I mean, do they collect U.S. Social Security? What taxes do they pay? That kind of thing.
Right. Well, it's a territory, and that's always been somewhat of a loaded term used in Puerto Rico because they don't really – they've also called themselves a commonwealth, and there's always been a sense that they have a certain amount of sovereignty. Mm-hmm. They can't – as we said at the top, they can't vote for president. They don't have elected officials in Congress, which is key in terms of determining how they're affected by laws. They do pay Social Security and Medicare taxes. They don't pay a federal income tax, but they pay plenty of taxes to the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico because that's where many of their services come from. Mm-hmm. But they're treated differently by federal laws in many ways, including the U.S. bankruptcy code, which became an issue last year when they ran into this huge problem with their $70 billion debt, and they couldn't put some of their institutions through bankruptcy, which has happened in places like Detroit and elsewhere. So in many ways, they felt like they have a second-class citizenship.
As you mentioned, there are some pro-independence protesters out today, and some politicians there are pushing for statehood. Others are pushing for independence. Can you tell us more about the likelihood of either of those outcomes?
Well, this issue of status, you know, what's your political status? What's the relationship of Puerto Rico to the U.S.? That has been, for 100 years, been the main story there, the main issue. The three political parties there all have a different position here. One party is the statehood party. One party is the Commonwealth or the status quo party, and one party, much smaller, is the Independence Party. Independence used to be a very strong movement in Puerto Rico for the first part of the last century. You know, it led to attacks on Congress. Independence activists tried to assassinate Harry Truman in 1950, and then there was an armed attack on Congress where five members of Congress were shot and wounded in 1954, I believe that was. Since then, independence has kind of lost steam in Puerto Rico. Certainly the militant part is gone. Mm. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that many more Puerto Ricans live in America now, live in the U.S., the mainland. Mm-hmm. And that constant movement back and forth has done a lot to kind of bring the island much closer to the mainland. In terms of the likelihood of statehood, I think it's growing on the island. Support is growing somewhat on the island, but we had a referendum in 2012, and although it won, it did not really win conclusively the way it was worded. It was not convincing to a lot of people that there's a real strong consensus for statehood. So The other option besides statehood would be an independence is status quo. That's been undercut somewhat in the last few years by decisions that have come out of Washington. The Supreme Court had decisions which say that Puerto Rico doesn't have the sovereignty that many people on the island long believed they did. Mm. And then also, as we mentioned, we have the debt issue, and Congress has imposed a federal oversight board on Puerto Rico and its finances. And that took a lot of authority away from the island and led a lot of people there to start to talk about colonial rule from Washington.
That's right. Puerto Rico has been dealing with this devastating debt crisis, an estimated $7 billion deficit. That has affected the debate a lot.
Exactly. And right now we're in the middle of it there because the new governor there had to come up with his own proposed budget, which he submits to the oversight board. His budget makes cuts, but they do so without actually laying off a lot of state workers there. Still, his cuts would be very painful, but they fall short, many people believe, of what the oversight board wants and what they've asked for. So now we're waiting to see what the oversight board's going to say. They're going to come back with probably more cuts, more austerity, which will be very tough for people to accept in Puerto Rico. So we could likely see demonstrations and a big pushback there. All that kind of is likely to kind of add to the atmosphere as we head toward the June 11th referendum on status. It'll be interesting to see what the vote is, but then ultimately it's up to Congress, and Puerto Rico's voted four times before on status, and Congress has never acted after either, any one of those. Given the atmosphere, what's going on in Washington, it's kind of doubtful that they're going to say, now's the time for us to make Puerto Rico a state.
NPR's Greg Allen, marking 100 years of a law granting U.S. citizenship to Puerto Ricans. Greg, thank you.
You're welcome.